Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. I'm joined, as always, by the official second banana of the show. He's the host of the Gaming Game show, Evan Munro Smith. Welcome.
Thank you. It's called Gamey Game.
Okay. Interesting. An interesting
You've
take.
Been on it a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Don't understand your point there, but this week on the show, joining us back in the Monkey House from Sans Pants Radio, it's Cass Page and Jackson Bailey.
Thanks for having us back.
Now.
Yes.
It's so good to have you back.
It's so good
You're becoming
to be here.
Regulars.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it feels good.
We're becoming the norm to this cheers.
You know? Yeah. Everybody knows.
Our names.
Your names,
your
yes.
Okay. If I said your names, I would have been...
Yeah, I was
is that what
think.
People say? Is that what people mean when they say, like, that's just becoming the norm?
I hope so. Not normal. Got nothing to do with that. They're referring to the Ted Danson vehicle Cheers. Wow, yeah. Bolt claimed the Cheers is a Ted Danson vehicle.
Yeah, well,
that's not true.
His So Norm from Cheers, that's what a lot of people don't know, that his name is short for Normal.
That's right.
Normal Peterson. Yeah. So, fun fact, early. Evan's favorite kind of primate, listeners will know, is the human in particular.
Sure.
Andy from Toy Story.
A bold and brave choice.
Oh, yeah.
Important.
I got in early with that one.
You did.
Now, but you two are amateur primatologists.
Yeah.
And I just think you'd be in a great position to convince Evan that there's better options out there. Do you have another option of primate?
Well, okay, so human's good. But
yes.
What if you could go...
I agree.
Oh, that is a smart. Get in them, it's good
Yeah.
side.
Yeah.
Human's good, we can agree on that. But
yeah.
What about human plus, i.e. Bigfoot, the Sasquatch, the North American wood ape? That's like a human but stronger, hairier, and more isolated.
Yeah, is he dumber?
He's managed to evade capture for
That's
this
true.
Whole time.
Does Sasquatch talk?
They knock on wood to communicate.
Really?
They're
yeah.
very superstitious.
A wood knock, yeah. Every time.
Is there like a system of knocks that's like...
Well, it's apparently a thing that if you want to go and hunt for Bigfoots, you go into somewhere in the Pacific Northwest and you whack a stick against a tree and you'll hear somewhere else in the woods someone, a Bigfoot, whacking your stick against a tree. It's called wood knocking. You can
yeah,
YouTube
right.
it.
Is
it's
it just an echo?
Not...
Or...
No. It's most likely another person who has also come to search for a Bigfoot.
Oh my god! So many Bigfoot in these woods. That's kind of sweet.
You're in the Bigfoot echo chamber.
Yeah.
So that's a great suggestion.
Wow, Bigfoot!
Evan.
Come on.
I'm unswayed. Too much hair.
Too much hair.
Yeah.
Okay. What if one shaved for society?
Maybe. A shaved Bigfoot.
Maybe. Oh, that's exciting.
Bigfoot at this stage almost seems like a choice because the people who go out and try to find Bigfoot, they do the knocks, they try and call Bigfoot over, and then they use mating calls. And the Bigfoot is just like, oh, I'm fine. They're like, nah, I haven't shaved.
Does he have especially big feet, or is he just big generally?
Tip, well, the feet are, I guess, aren't big proportionally to Bigfoot.
Right.
They're in proportion, but they're bigger than my feet. Great. Or a basic human.
He could be thing. Big hand.
Yeah,
big head.
He could have been.
You could listen to an episode of Do Go On where I discuss the history of Bigfoot. I think it comes because a lot of the early proof of Bigfoot was the footprints.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he walked on his hands, he'd be known as Handfoot.
Okay.
Confusing, but that's the system they use. How about you, Cass? You got a suggestion?
Yeah, well, look, mine used to be... It used to be the pygmy macaque. No.
Marmoset?
Pygmy marmoset. My favorite ape used to be the pygmy marmoset. You can see now that it has left my heart as it has left my brain.
Yep.
It used to be one that you could have on your finger. Very adorable. I have returned to the Japanese macaque.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Those are the monkeys that go into the springs and relax.
Mm. Oh,
you have
yes.
Never, not on a human, no other animal can you see such a calm come across a creature's face. When it ducks into the water. And then there's that beautiful, famous photo set of the Japanese macaque looking at a phone in the hot springs. It's clearly taken one. And then rubbing its eyebrows like it's received some stressful news.
That's great.
I think we see ourselves truly as humans in the Japanese macaque.
You're not wrong. The photos are some of the best photos of them relaxing in that
hot spring. I mean, there aren't many species that... just relax like a human.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Dolphins bone for fun like humans. Mm. Macaques relax.
Yeah. And the rest are just like so high strung.
Mm.
Most yeah, apes.
Most apes seem primates. Stressed. You're right. Yeah. Mm.
These ones figured it out.
Yeah.
And they only figured it out in recent times. It's a relatively recent thing.
Really?
They discovered the hot springs. Yeah.
That's cool.
And they've already got a system where they exclude most of the other macaques.
Oh,
like
hell,
only certain bloodlines are allowed in the hot springs.
Oh my god, so self-care.
Photos
cut off the toxic people in your life.
Well, I think they're more like the poor people in your life.
Right.
Okay, that's tragically very human.
Yeah.
I hate
so
them
good.
Now.
Obviously they don't have money, but I feel like that's what they're doing. They're like, we're the royal bloods, we're
absolutely.
The purebred
king ape. Yeah. As it were.
Is there a split? Like, who gets excluded? Or is it just whoever...
It's just a family thing, and then some will protect the area. They'll basically dormant.
Surely there are enough bounces. Hot springs for every Japanese
macaque. Yeah, there's so much room in there.
Yeah.
It's so human to be like, actually, sorry.
What about if you guard so no one else can come in? Like, you're still part of it, but you're not part of it.
Yeah,
and maybe there's like a mild implication that eventually when we're done, you can have the hot springs, but they're never going to get it.
Yeah, I reckon that's probably what they're thinking they are.
Yeah.
I'm in with them, just doing a little bit of work. But
I'm just guarding because I like them so much. Like, it's like a friendly thing. And then when they're done, I'll get in the hot spring.
They'd let me in if I wanted to go in, but I don't even want to go in. I just want to guard.
The other macaques looking in, like, some of them are like, I think it's stupid that they're guarding. I think they're never going to get in. It's dumb. And then they go home at night. They're like, I'd totally take the job. I'd guard.
If they offered me to guard, I'd take it in a heartbeat.
I would kill the other macaques. I know him. I'd do it.
Evan, is that convincing enough?
Look, I don't know.
Japanese macaques.
Humans have hot springs too.
It's true.
But
these are also the highest in terms of northernmost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying all these words weird. They're the most northern.
Most northern, not highest
primates.
Altitude, but
no,
not most
northern.
Mm.
I believe.
Okay.
Is that exciting? Is that
something you like?
Is more north better?
They've been further north than you have, Evan.
Yeah,
you've got to give them that.
Think about
that's
that.
True. I haven't been very north.
Yeah. They've got that on you.
I think the northest I've been is North America.
Yeah.
Don't you want to be like these pure bloodline macaques?
But generally humans have been pretty north, right?
Yes,
that's
humans
true.
Humans have been further north.
Yeah. I mean, Santa Claus is up there.
Yeah that's fairly north.
Is he a human? I thought he was some sort of a magical
elf. Is he a pixie
man
or something? I don't
know.
Yeah,
I think so.
Where's the theories about him being an alien?
Yeah.
I need those.
Right. There
I like would to think Santa's this. Like an elf that ate the royal jelly, you know? Like a queen bee.
Yeah,
and
right,
he just
right.
sits there, voluminous and huge, popping out elves from his little bee genitals.
Growing wings?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
And that's
cool.
why the elves help. They're like, one day. Everyone's on the outside looking in.
Protect the queen is something they might say.
That's true.
So the queen week, Santa Claus.
This week we're going to talk about an episode of the original Scooby-Doo series, which was Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Mm-hmm. From 1969, The Summer of Love. And it was suggested by listener and Patreon, Devin Bruns from Iowa. And the episode is called Never Ape an Ape Man.
Great advice, first of all. Fantastic advice.
And that's straight off the top. So I thought maybe for those unfamiliar with the show, we could play the opening theme. Jackson, I know you're a big fan.
I would love it if we played the opening theme.
Because you've been singing it anyway.
So. I have.
So here's what it sounds like for those who don't know.
The
that second one was
out.
Me.
Yeah, Tim Toolman. What is that noise? This noise at the start is bats?
Yeah, well, it was just like a weird sound and then bats, but it's combined. So
it's like a car starting or something. Is it the van? The mystery machine? Is that what it's called?
Yes. Maybe? I don't know.
Oh, Shag's in a bath. Velma's gasping. Their skulls. Jeez, it goes on.
It is long, yeah.
For a 20-minute show.
Yeah. Snack. Yeah, like 2 minutes of it is the opening. It's great.
It's so good.
I miss cartoons that have long openings like this.
I miss cartoons that weren't about anything, like Scooby-Doo. This means nothing, you know?
Yeah.
This is a wafer of a cartoon.
Yeah.
That rules.
It's such a thin idea. So that's what a fantastic introduction. And there's a little bit of an ad for... car. More specifically, a car.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's weird that they're just selling the one.
Can I ask first up, because I remember this from my childhood, but I don't know much about Scooby-Doo generally. So this is the first TV series of Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
This is Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? 1969, is it?
69.
Is this episode
really?
Is this episode seven?
Lucky seven.
Yeah. And... Is this where Scooby-Doo came from, or was it a book first, or was it something else?
This is Scooby-Doo.
This is original Scooby-Doo.
This is the beginning.
Yeah, this
wow.
is how it began. And it was originally it was a rejected idea.
I can see why.
CBS execs thought it was too scary for kids.
Oh.
It was pitched as a Saturday morning cartoon, which is what it ended up being.
That's the least scary time, though. They were smart to pitch it at that time of day.
That's true. Yeah.
And they renamed it. Apparently, the name Scooby-Doo. Do you know much of this, Jackson?
I know a bit.
I've been reading that today. Apparently, flying in for the meeting, the guy pitching it, was listening to Frank Sinatra, and in a song he does a bit of scatting.
Dooby-dooby-doo.
And that's where Scooby, the name came from. So to soften it from a scarier name, I think it was initially anal warts or something. That's
Beast Mode the Fuck Dog. Yeah. Change the name.
Yeah, I wonder what the original name was.
Let me see if I can figure that out. But let's talk about the... I'll give you the IMDb description of this episode, then I'll find that as you guys are talking.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea.
This was written by Spirit.
Oh, the what? Horse?
The cigarette the horse. Brand?
The horse after it died. Spirit.
Oh, my God.
From smoking.
So Spirit writes, Daphne's Uncle John, a movie director, offers to put the kids into his current production, The Ape Man of Forbidden Mountain. Uncle John needs all the help he can get because everyone is quitting his movie. It seems that a local legend about an ape man is coming true and is terrifying all the actors on the set. When the movie shuts down because the lead actress quits, the kids begin searching for the ape man, causing all the havoc on the set. I guess we should explain who the kids are.
Well, yeah, you get the Scooby gang, the
this
classic
is the Scooby gang.
Shaggy, Norville Rogers, full name.
Okay.
Fred Jones, Daphne Blake, Velma Dinkley, and Scoobert Doo.
His real name's Scoobert.
Is that true?
It's Scoobert, yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, is that, that's
I
not a
that
name.
I thought
that was a joke. No, he's Scoobert. He's Scoobert Doo. Here's a weird thing about Scooby Doo that's always frustrated me, right? So his name is Scooby Doo, right?
Yep.
And his cousin, Scrappy Doo, is Scrappy Doo, okay? Yep. But his other cousin is Scooby Dumb.
Dumb? What?
Dumb, because he's stupid.
Oh, Scooby Dumb, right, okay.
But how are they... Scooby-Doo, Scrappy-Doo, same surname.
Yeah.
Scooby-Dumb, same first name. Difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is
that's
it
a weird
nickname?
Coincidence.
It's just very strange. And then there's, I think, a Scooby-Dame or something. There's a lady Scooby-Doo out
right.
there as well.
Is that supposed to be a love interest for Scoobert?
No, often Scoobert is trying to become romantically involved with poodles. If he's ever interested
right.
romantically in a dog, it's what Hollywood deems the sexiest dog, the
right.
poodle.
Yeah.
He's a Great Dane, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The man knows his do.
I got an encyclopedic do knowledge. It's true.
So yeah. Apparently it was initially... this is something I found interesting. I was reading about it as well. Apparently the characters were based on the many loves of Dobie Gillis.
Oh.
Which is a show I'd never heard of. And this is from the Wikipedia of the many loves of Dobie Gillis. It was a major influence on the characters of the Hanna-Barbera Saturday morning cartoon Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?, which ran on the network from 69 to 70. As confirmed by series creators Joe Ruby and Ken Spears and writer Mark Evernia. Mm. He's even Evernia than you, I guess. The four teenage lead characters of Scooby-Doo were based on the four teenage lead characters from Dobie Gillis. Fred Jones on Dobie, Daphne Blake on Talia, Velma Dinkley on Zelda, and Shaggy Rogers on Maynard. And I wouldn't have mentioned any of this, but it's kind of interesting because Maynard was played by Bob Denver,
yeah.
who went on to be Gilligan from Gilligan's Island, who we did an episode on a couple of weeks back.
You can see the similarities there between that and Shaggy. It's cut from the same cloth.
They're both dopey.
Yeah, they're both goofballs.
Goofballs, thank
Shaggy
you.
Shaggy always seems like he's wearing scraps of clothes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
His t-shirt's really unsettling. It looks really old and really uncared for.
Yeah.
It looks like he was asked to make a shirt and then did an outline of a shirt and someone was like, we can make that happen.
Yeah, we'll sew that up. Okay. Whatever.
It's like when kids draw clothes and they forget to do the part from your neck to the edge of your shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't do that.
It also, his t-shirt sleeves always remind me of, like, do you remember kids in primary school that would just stretch their clothes? Like, they would maybe, like, sit with their t-shirt over their knees or, like, their arms out, and they would just become these big gaping sleeves.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what Shaggy's ones feel like. And you know he sleeps in those clothes, too. Like,
yeah.
There's no way he doesn't. He sleeps in those. Shaggy smells the worst of all of the
Scooby.
Oh,
absolutely.
Gang. Yeah.
Including Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who just smells like a dog, I guess.
I guess so.
And Fred, I always imagine smelling kind of like cleaning products, you know?
Mm.
Like he's always freshly laundered.
Oh, yep. Not like destruction of evidence.
Not like formaldehyde.
Maybe.
Well, look, we'll see.
The original names were a lot cooler, by the way.
Yeah.
Maynard.
I know.
Yeah,
Maynard's
better
rules.
Than Shaggy.
Zelda.
Yeah, what? They were better. I think they went through a few different, when they were pitching the show, they changed a few times, even on their own. Scooby-Doo was initially going to be called Too Much.
What?
What? Really?
Yeah.
The dog was going to be named Too Much.
Yeah. And you're saying that like that's weird. It ended up being called Scooby-Doo.
Well, yeah. But Scooby-Doo doesn't mean anything. Too Much means something.
Apparently
too much.
It was a popular phrase at the time.
Too much. How do you think you said it? In what context did you bust out a too much?
Yeah.
Was it if someone was like, I just can't conceive of when I would use that phrase?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a cool. Too much.
Oh, groovy.
Yeah, too much groovy.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's
next
overwhelmingly
to groovy,
good.
It seems okay.
Yeah.
Groovy, let's put it next
much.
To groovy.
Yeah.
I was talking about theories on language evolution within English and the way that we will co-opt some phrases or transform them to mean other things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and this is just opinions. I think I'm right though.
Yeah.
But like you look at how we used to use words and how we do now, and it's just people being like, I have my feelings and no one will understand them unless I like have the words to describe how they are, and my feelings are the most real thing because of course they are. They're all you ever felt. And I'm not being like, everyone does this, it's me. I do this too. So you have to extrapolate and make them way too much so that everyone can see the big cloud of your feelings and be like, oh yes, I understand this part. It's like how literally now means, not like this literally happened, but I need you to understand that what happened to me may as well have happened literally because this is how I felt it.
Yeah.
That seems like why too much would have been like, oh, you're too much.
Too much.
Bring it back.
Yeah, I think so. I'm with you.
I think we
bring back
here.
Too much.
I reckon this episode is going to be quoted in a Wikipedia article one day as the rebirth of too much.
Too much.
Oh, too much. So the ape in this episode was really, it's called an ape man.
It's a big ape.
It's a gorilla. It's a big silverback gorilla.
But it's of size. It's larger than the lead actor. So I assumed it was just like abnormally big and they were calling it an ape man.
Right.
That was my theory on what was going on.
Because I think of an ape, isn't traditionally an ape man's more like a Tarzan, isn't it?
Oh.
Like a man brought up by apes.
Yeah, that maybe is your more traditional ape man. But see, an ape man for me is also sort of like a Sasquatch is an ape man.
Right.
Or or does that feel more like a man ape to us?
No.
I'm not sure.
I'll admit I've never considered Tarzan as an ape man.
Yeah.
However, I understand that Sasquatch would be an ape man.
Yeah.
When I saw the giant primate on the screen, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, right. An ape man. You're affording him a human level of intelligence.
Right.
Well, what I think is hilarious about the ape man in this is that it looks like the costume. The costumed ape man from the movie, the ape man of Curse Mountain or whatever.
Yeah.
And of Forbidden Mountain. And the ape man that they're like the monster look identical.
Yeah. Very much so.
So is everyone... What?
I'm assuming the special effects were too much.
Yeah.
How good is that mask?
I know.
You know, you put it on and you become a full animatronic ape man in 1969. Poorly animated, sure, but
yeah. Absolutely.
Make great sounds and
hey, can we talk about can we try to figure out, cuz this has always baffled me about this episode. Where does it take place? Because it's just weird, misty, green mountains everywhere.
There's not much setup to this.
Isn't it
they're
on
straight
a set?
In.
They're just, yeah, but also I think it's like an area because they're on a mansion the original film was filmed on.
Right.
I thought it was...
Hang on. Yeah.
The original Legend of the Ape Man, there was a mansion where the ape man lived or something.
Oh.
Because they were like, yeah, this is where the ape man lived. And then all the actors were like, no, I'm not shooting where the ape man actually lived.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then later they're like, we'll go into the mansion. Wait, wasn't this where the original ape man
Yeah, happened? This set is built on the ruins of the old mansion.
Oh.
So the ape man lived in an old mansion but is more ape than man. But was also clearly at one point probably a man because apes can't own property.
Yeah.
Is that the takeaway
here? Yeah, so I guess...
It's a bit vague.
Yeah, it's
unclear. I can't see the ape man in this episode sitting down with a real estate agent and nutting out a contract, you know?
Maybe just inherited it from something.
Maybe they were like...
Some people will leave it the house to a cat.
Yeah.
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 They just owned an abnormally large ape and they were like, give it to him.
Maybe from working his great ape uncle or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some Jackson Bailey type owned a mansion.
Owned a mansion and a big ape and left it all to the big ape. That's what the will says.
Well, that makes sense to me now.
Good. I'm glad.
I can get around it. So pretty much the whole episode is them trying to figure out who this ape man is, right? Or they're trying to capture him.
It's a classic Scooby-Doo setup. Problem arises, overtly supernatural, ostensibly supernatural. Fred Jones is like, let's do it. Nobody else wants to, but he's in charge. They hang around for a bit and don't really do anything to capture the ape, but then capture the ape.
Right.
And it's just someone.
They chase it, then they run away and then chase it.
Hijinks happen.
They set up a trap.
Well, they try to.
Yeah, they fail.
Yeah.
But they did something.
They set up the trap.
That's true. They just don't execute the trap.
They do their best.
Because Velma's glasses got foggy.
Yeah.
Oh,
Velma, get contact. Come on. Hey, is it just me or in this episode does it seem like everyone's a bit mad at Scooby-Doo? Like before the episode began, there was a fight, and now, I don't know, it just always feels like they're real rude to him throughout it.
Is he also normally so brave?
No, it's weird. It's really out of character.
He takes on the, early on, the ape man, he punches it in the face multiple times.
Yeah.
And then he kicks it. He runs on that, they're like, oh, the rope bridge that has no rope on it.
Yeah, that's he a runs out bridge.
Yeah, he and got, like, protects the woman.
Yeah, which is just very uncharacteristic of Scooby-Doo.
So early on, we see the actor playing the ape man in the film has been trapped in a trunk of a car.
Yeah, Carl the stuntman.
Carl the stuntman.
He's in like a box, like a crate, like
a trunk.
Yeah. Oh, so he's in a trunk. They didn't have cars in 1969.
Come on, man.
Lunatic.
I like in that scene, Scooby-Doo knocks on the trunk that he's in, and he does like the shave and a haircut. No legs or whatever.
What?
is that what rhythm
shave
sounds like?
Shave and a haircut. Dun, dun. I forget what the next bit is. It's not No Legs, but it's something like... No, it might be No Legs.
What is that tune? I know the tune, Shave, but what's that song?
You go... Bup, 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 bup. It's because back in the day, every barber was also a surgeon.
Oh.
And so I don't know how that relates to the knocking.
Shave and a haircut.
But no legs.
And when you say no legs, that's you getting an amputation.
Yes.
Double leg.
Why do they need to sing about it?
I don't know. And that's why this is... probably not true, but maybe the, you know, the candy cane thing above the barber? I think that's blood and hair. Like it's meant to wrap. Maybe.
I thought, no, I've heard that as well. The red one represents blood.
Yeah.
Is that because they'll shave, they might nick you while shaving?
I think it's the surgery, right?
Yeah, they'll perform surgery on you if you want.
This isn't true, is
it? No, it's true.
This is not.
Barbers back in the day would also perform surgery.
What
if
kind
you wanted.
Of surgery?
Whatever you want, man.
You were trained in sharps.
Yeah. You got a scissors, you got a thing that needs to be chopped. I'll goddamn do it.
Good this lord.
This man in town has the sharpest knives. There are two things we will go to this man for. Maybe it was less, you know, less deep than that. It was like, you need something cut off of your body, that's where you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. That's the place for it.
They didn't think to separate hair and limbs.
Well, it does sound like this is true. There's an abc.net.au article titled When Barbers Were Surgeons and Surgeons Were Barbers.
Can you Google shave and a haircut and find out where the next bit is? No legs. Shave and a haircut. No legs. That can't be right. But maybe. But Scooby-Doo does that to the crate. He does the shave and a haircut bit. But the stuntman in the crate knocks
two
back
bits.
Two bits.
I guess that's the price, probably.
Ah, that's fair. No legs.
Oh, right.
I just pulled that out of nowhere. But it's funny that guy does it back. If I was trapped in a trunk, I wouldn't be like, oh, we're doing the song? Cool. Fun. Yeah.
Does he, maybe I miswatched, like he leans on it and then the crate starts tapping and then it's like, whoa, and then he does the tap thing.
Yeah.
And then the guy does it back.
Yeah, and then...
So that makes more sense. It's
weird it proves that they're friendly, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes, this here box.
evil people would not know to pretend to be friendly to be let out of a box.
Well, maybe a monster might not. It proves they're intelligent.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is just...
Well, that's what you want, an intelligent evil person out of the box? I prefer an idiot.
But at this stage in the episode, they're looking for Carl the stuntman.
That's true.
Right, okay. And,
yeah. Also, maybe Scooby-Doo was brave because he did something horrible before the mission started. Everyone was a bit angry at him. And then so when things started going south, he's like, God, I got to redeem myself.
Yeah.
A mix of I have to get back on top and also I don't want to be with these people right now. And maybe any excuse is a good excuse.
Fighting an ape man. Because there's like that scene, I think it's the shave and a haircut two bits bit, where he's like, and Velma's like, not another one of your acts, Scooby-Doo, or something like that. She just sounds so pissed off with him. Like, I don't know what happened before this episode, but yeah, maybe that does explain the bravery.
Is there characteristics? Normally you've got, you know, like Ninja Turtles, you've got Leonardo's the leader, you've got Raphael's cool but rude, Michelangelo's party dude. And Donatello.
Well, that's cheating.
Computers.
There is a song for
that.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Do the Scooby Gang have similar traits?
You've got
the leader, I guess, is Leonardo, is Freddy.
Fred. Then Velma is, I guess,
Donatello.
Does machines. Then you've got your Mikey and Shaggy, I suppose.
Yeah.
Dudes,
and then I suppose that just leaves Daphne for Oh, God, what's the last Ninja Turtle?
Is that Cool but Rude?
Yeah, Raphael.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. Lineup, does doesn't it? Really follow through.
There's not really a Cool but Rude one, is there?
No, maybe that's Scooby. I don't know. He's not really... Well, he can be rude.
So what is Daphne? What is her character?
She's just there. Every incarnation of Scooby-Doo tries to figure out what to do with Daphne, and nobody knows.
In this episode, it is her uncle, and also... Yep. She makes a couple of mistakes.
Okay.
Yeah, she's annoying and unlucky.
They're like, Daphne, hit the lights. And there's like 9 switches. And she is also thinking, well, I've also never been to this movie set. She's like, I'll guess. And she hits the wrong one because it's a 1 in 9 chance.
Yeah.
Also, they're like, hey, can you turn on the upper light switches on the stairs? And they're all unmarked. They're so unfair to Daphne. They set her up to fall. They keep negging Daphne so that she never learns to speak out.
She pushes the button that turns the stairs into a slide, though, and that does come in handy later.
It does come in handy later, but she doesn't do it later. And they get annoyed. They use that opportunity to be like, Daphne, wrong switch. Like, did she's going to be like, wait, that wasn't right? We didn't want to bring the monster back to us.
Sorry. I forget what episode it is. It's one of the original series where they're looking for clues and Daphne just picks up a vase and she's like, is this a clue? Just great. If I was going to characterize Daphne, they don't really have like a hilarious, lovable, dumb character.
Right.
You'd think that's Shaggy, but Shaggy's just annoying. You know what I mean? He's more like a wastoid. He's not like an idiot.
Yeah.
But if Daphne was our lovable fool,
I
think that there's room for that in the Scooby gang.
Is she with Freddy or...?
It's unclear.
Right.
Occasionally, yes, some of the Scooby-Doo movies do end with the implication that they'll fall in love. And Mystery Inc., the third most recent incarnation of Scooby-Doo, they are together for a bit, but Fred's love of traps, as in building them, it separates them.
Okay.
He doesn't know how to be romantic.
What about in the Sarah Michelle Gellar film? Where she actually winds up with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Did she marry him?
Yeah, they're together.
IRL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
They met on the set in Sydney, right? Mm.
Wow. The city of love.
Yes, go on.
Oh, no, I was going to go somewhere else.
That's
well, let's see where you go. Let's see where he goes with this.
I forgot this show had a laugh track.
Yes, that was so unsettling. And also, I so wanted to, after watching it, I was like, I want to go back through the episode because as you're watching it, you forget it has a laugh track because modern shows, if they have a laugh track, it's just every
single joke. It's consistent, right?
It's consistent. This one is like, it's not a funny show, but there are jokes.
Yeah.
And so every now and then, the one that really stuck out was when Scooby jumps into Velma's arms and then she's like, you're fogging up my glasses. And then they're like, laugh track. Here's the comedy. Don't even stress. It's not, is that?
Is that a joke?
That's the thing. It's so on the cusp. I think what they were trying to do was to be like, we're going to laugh at this because things are about to go wrong, but we're going to lighten it.
But there are
so many other things that happen.
That makes sense.
There are so many other things that happen that could, like, if that's your bar.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Get them over, you know?
Yeah.
Every single time there was a laugh track, you're like, oh, right. I would love to go back through and track what they think are jokes.
Have they decided is funny?
Because you don't get the sense that an audience has watched this and they've recorded the reaction.
Not in a million years.
They've deliberately put in laughs at these points.
The funny parts of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Are not the jokes in Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? They're the weird, stilted conversations and the terrible animation.
Yeah.
That's what makes it good. The strange dialogue, like when Scooby slides down the stairs and he's like, riding, and Shaggy's like, you love sliding? Who wrote that? Who thought that was anything?
There's a scene where the ape man is like on a dolly thing. I'm like, I think they just couldn't be bothered animating the ape man walking. So they put him on like a wheels.
Is that the one where Shaggy tears the ape man, which looks really unsettling. And then Velma's like, it's stuffed. And he's like, it's stuffed. And then there's a laugh track. And
don't think for a second that it fooled me.
Yeah.
Standing in the corpse of something.
Oh, bravo.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What did you think of the scene, which I've read a few fans online have said called a highlight of the episode, where Shaggy, they were in a the library room, and he found a what he thought was a mirror.
Scooby.
For some reason, I interchange their names. Scooby looks at this mirror, and on the other side, the ape man is pretending to be Scooby because he's got a Scooby-Doo mask.
Yeah,
ready to go. Down to the collar.
It's intense. I have a weird story about this.
Okay.
Okay, so back way, way, way back in the day, I had this very unpopular blog called Mockery Machine, where I would go through I just went through the first two seasons of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And I would kind of, it was like this weird...
It is total coincidence. I had no idea about this when I asked you to be on this episode.
It's just everybody's like, oh, I'm a Star Wars kid. Oh, I'm a Marvel guy. No, I'm a Scooby-Doo guy.
Wow.
But it was very terribly unpopular, and I'm not proud of it, and it doesn't represent me now. But there was nobody liked it except for one guy. Now, I was not kind to Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Because I love it because it's atrocious.
Right.
And I would make all these jokes at its expense. But there was one guy that I guess never got that because he loved Scooby-Doo. And I mean... loved Scooby-Doo, and he would send me these paragraphs in the comments about the episodes I was reviewing. And when I did the Don't Ape the Ape Man, or Never Ape the Ape Man, he was like, yes, I love this episode because of the super realistic Scooby mask. I purchased one myself. And then he sent me a photo of that mask, but made of an unpleasantly realistic latex.
Like a realistic, hang on, not like dog fur, like a
no,
real dog.
But as in it but was like clearly a... custom made based off the mask in this episode.
Oh my God.
That he possessed and sent me a photo of.
Amazing.
Because he was so proud of it.
Because I was thinking it was unrealistic that there'd be a Scooby mask on hand there for the ape man, but now...
Now it is.
Now I think maybe...
But I don't know if this guy, it feels like it would have had to be custom made because it was too obviously based on this. It was very unsettling. That guy never really got what I was going for, but he was the only guy that commented, so.
Yeah, so you both appreciated each other, I imagine.
Yeah.
Man.
Sometimes art is in the reaction.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. This is the paragraph I was referring to before about how they had to rework it in the pitch stage.
Yeah.
And it's from the IMDb trivia page, which is probably my favorite area of the internet. And it says, under the title of, this is the original title of the series, Who's Scared? Which is, how do you pronounce it? Because it's spelt W-W-H-O. Apostrophe S.
Mm.
Who's? I
oh
guess.
My gosh.
And then S-S-S scared.
What?
I guess that one makes
scared.
Yeah. Who's scared? So that's how they originally pitched it, and
it's
it was rejected by CBS.
Rightfully so.
Who thought the presentation artwork was too frightening for children, and that the show must be the same. CBS executive Fred Silverman was listening to Frank Sinatra's Strangers in the Night with the scattered lyric, doobie doobie doo, on the flight to that ill-fated meeting. After the show was originally rejected, a number of changes were made. The Hanna-Barbera staff decided that the dog should be the star of the series instead of the four kids and renamed him Scooby-Doo after the Sinatra lyric. The spooky aspects of the show were toned down slightly and the comedy aspects turned up, like bad animation.
You're telling me.
And the show was presented as the centerpiece for CBS's 1969/70 Saturday morning season.
Well, that makes sense. It's like if you've got insufficient parking, if you make the car park directory a lot easier for people to navigate, you can get away with it. Yeah. You're like, oh, this shopping center doesn't have parking. They're like, okay, well, we'll make sure that there are signs everywhere with updates on where the free parks are so it's easier. Mm-hmm. They're like, cool, if it's that scary, we're gonna put laugh tracks in there. Yeah. So the kids know
it's
not
all good
to cry.
It's just a joke. Yeah. Baby,
I take out the cry track, put in the laugh track.
There was a weep track initially. I love how your brain works with analogies. Obviously, parking at a supermarket. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a system of guidance, and us as all working adults who love a bit of frivolous capitalism on the side, surely.
Oh, big time.
But hate to park. Oh, no. Oh, who's got the time? Why is everyone at the shop? No, go home.
It is so funny when you're looking for a park and you just hate every, like, yeah. What could you possibly be doing here?
Yeah.
You're like, there's no reason for you to be at the store. Obviously, I need to be at the store.
I needed a thing.
But I cannot imagine any reason you'd be here.
Oh, I get so, like, there's no reason for me to be mad, but my local shopping center, I'll go, and because I podcast for my job, I can go during the day, like during school, like work hours.
Yeah.
And whenever the car park's full during the day, I'm like, why are you here? No, it's not the time.
Get a job.
I know, I'm like, go to work, go to school. Things that I am not at right now. Places I will not go.
Can I?
Perfect sense to me. I feel like everyone should be living the normal life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Leave the weirdo stuff to us.
The normal life.
Yeah, the norm from Cheers life.
Yeah.
Can I fact check something? So at one point they're looking for the ape man, and there's a half-eaten sandwich which has meat in it, and they it's suspicious because they say, apes don't eat meat.
Yes, I remember this line. No, it is not. Velma is just pulling it out of nowhere.
She's supposed to be the smart one.
Gorillas, Velma does this all the time. It's so frustrating.
Apes aren't necessary, but I think gorillas are. And I think she's using ape interchangeably with gorillas, which isn't quite right.
So gorillas are veggie?
Yeah.
Chimpanzees, right? Though, will eat other chimpanzees. Yes. They're maniacs.
So, okay. Yeah. So...
it's a technicality here.
But there's times in this show, there's like an episode where it's like some kind of like Native American ghost, and Velma picks up a tomahawk and just looks at it and she's like, wow, it's 2,000 years old. You don't know that, Velma. Just because everyone else you're with are big idiots and are going to be like, wow. She just pulls that out of her ass.
She doesn't realize the cameras are rolling. And we're going to be fact checking later.
Absolutely.
Nah, she needs to get her own in. Yeah, like, she just has to be like, I need a win. Because at some point, someone's going to knock the glasses off my face or breathe on them wrong. And I'm going to be useless.
Well, I've got a fun fact about that.
Oh, my God.
This is also from the fact page. And 61 out of 61 found it interesting.
Yes.
We make it 64, 65.
And it says, Velma's famous line, my glasses, I can't see without them. Which I wonder, did that inspire my girl's famous line, Thomas J. can't see without his glasses at the funeral?
Maybe.
One for the listeners. Please write in primatespod at gmail.com. Forgot the easy bit. So that famous line was not originally scripted for the show. My glasses, I can't see without them. During a table read for the voice artist, Velma's voiceover actress Nicole Jaffe, who was nearsighted as well, lost her glasses and uttered a variation of what became Velma's famous catchphrase. The writers liked the line so much.
Oh my gosh.
That Velma losing her glasses became one of the show's trademark gags.
Oh, that's insane. So it's like if we were all sitting here, Jackson's glasses fell off and it's like, sorry, I just need to grab those. I can't see. And we're like, oh.
Wait, say that again.
Wait. Do that one more time. Oh, I can't see without my glasses. That's it. That's the missing element.
I think if we were doing this in the biopic though, you would have said the thing you said just before that.
Yeah.
No, wait. Just after that.
Yeah.
What you mean when I said, hi, how are you?
No, you fool. Wow.
Yeah, so that, I mean, what a beautiful mistake.
Oh, just the idea of that poor woman, like, her glasses are out of thing or whatever. She's like, wait, I need my glasses to see. And everyone looking at each other, like, with childlike wonder. Like, you know when you wake up for Christmas and you see that the cookie's been bitten and you look at your sibling like, oh, my God. They burst out laughing and she's just, like, a bit shocked. Like, what?
You would think it was a joke. Like you would think they were having you on. If they're like, no.
Are you making
fun of
me?
Put that
on
the show, you'd be like, why? And they'd be like, no, it's so funny. Like,
this is my life you're laughing at.
I just don't get the joke.
No, sorry. You probably don't. You're a nerd. It's funny to people who aren't like you.
You can't see. Imagine that.
Give me your glasses. I'll show you. Where are my glasses? See? It's going in the show.
I think it was definitely a different time. This is way pre 9/11, and humor was different back
then.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
absolutely. Americans and, you know, the broader community of the world, mm-hmm. They were ready to laugh.
Vietnam had either just happened or was in the middle of happening.
And that's people were ready to laugh at people misplacing things.
Absolutely.
You know? It doesn't happen as much anymore. We lost our innocence.
Yeah.
And we lost our ability to laugh at misplaced items.
Yeah. Not just glasses.
No, it doesn't. The glasses is their thing. Other shows of the day, you know, had similar trademark phrases.
I can't walk without my shoes.
Where's my hat? It's a bit glary without it.
I wonder if it was all accessibility based. Yeah. Again, the worst primate is man.
See, Evan, I think maybe we didn't prove that the macaque was better, but I think we're proving that we're worse.
No. Well, look, we moved beyond it.
That's true. He's,
at that
right,
time, we were a different people.
We've grown.
But this isn't funny anymore.
Yeah, if you watched a cartoon now, if on Rick and Morty, Rick lost his glasses and was like, where are my glasses? You would not laugh.
That's not a joke.
Well, it was never a joke.
Unless they threw in the laugh track, obviously. Then
I would be like, ah-ha-ha-ha-ha, you're right.
Oh, and just the idea, like in this episode, they had to find more unique ways for her to lose her vision. Like, oh, Scooby, you're fogging up my glasses. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an episode where she's like, well, I'll just check the oven and, oh no, my glasses, they're steamy and you know I don't have cloth.
Amazing.
That was why the trap didn't go off.
Mm. Yep.
She accidentally turned off the lights. Which her friend Daphne could have bloody used.
She knew the lights by that point. Yeah. She'd been at the block enough.
These were different switches, and I will point out, though, that Velma was holding a big lever, said, my glasses are foggy. They're like, just pull the switch, and she had to reach out for a different lever that was a body's length away from her.
Oh, that rolls.
Well, it's nice to, you know, bring her back down to earth.
Yeah, exactly. Mm,
she's floating up there above us.
Yeah. Too smart.
Think she's too good for us.
I've Googled search terms, gorillas vegetarian. Mm. And worldwildlife.org says, gorillas stick to a mainly vegetarian diet, feeding on stems, bamboo shoots and fruits. Western lowland gorillas, however, also have an appetite for termites and ants and break open termite nests to eat the larvae.
Mm.
So they're mostly vegetarian.
Now, I guess if Velma thought that the ape man was a gorilla, she's not going to be like, but ape men don't eat meat except for larvae and termites. So, I mean, that might make her seem cleverer, but, you know.
Yeah.
I think this was an example of a TV show featuring an ape that they didn't call it a monkey at any point.
Mm,
normally they would make
point,
monkey
yeah.
jokes or monkey puns about.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. But talking about vegetarians, another fun fact. Only 55 out of 58 found this one interesting on IMDb. So Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem,
I would say? Casey Kasem is how some people pronounce it when they're looking for a more accurate way of doing it. Casey Kasem became a strict vegetarian during the production of the second season, and he wanted his character Shaggy to follow suit. Kasem was promised by Hanna-Barbera that his character would become vegetarian from that point on, and they for the most part kept their end of the bargain through that season. It says, I love these sort of fact things. Yeah. As long as one assumes that in Scooby-Doo, where are you, haunted house, hang up 1970, Shaggy's bologna slice is vegetarian bologna.
Bologna?
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 Bologna.
Is that how you spell bologna?
Yeah, that's how you spell bologna.
I wish I edited this podcast. That is something that I definitely would have said. All right, I'm going to say it one more time. That's how you spell bologna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bologna. That's great.
It's like bologna.
Do you like the confidence that I had of just going, oh, I reckon I got this.
Because there are a lot of meats you don't know.
I'm like, that's lasagna with bolo at the start. So I got this.
Well, yeah, okay. That's fair
where
enough.
Are you getting the nye from?
It's I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel like I've seen bologna spelled B-A-L-O-N-E-Y.
Oh, right. Well, here. Like,
but when someone's saying, that's bologna?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that's bologna is B-O-L. Yeah, like with an EY, but the food is GNA.
Mm.
Gnah.
Mm.
And so he basically says, as long as you can assume that that baloney is vegetarian. And also that the pizza he has is vegetarian safe pizza. In subsequent spin-off seasons, however, Shaggy's routinely seen snacking on non-vegetarian foods. Kasim put his foot down over the issue in 1995 after he was required to perform Shaggy's voice for a commercial advertising Burger King's Kids Club meals, which obviously were meaty meals.
That's no
That's
good.
Quite a conflict.
Yeah, and he refused to perform the voice after that until 2002 when he came back into the role in What's New Scooby-Doo. But he had the requirement that Shaggy be a strict vegetarian in that series, which he was. And Shaggy says he was also vegetarian in the live-action Scooby-Doo in 2002.
Really? Yeah, I was about to say, like, I know Mary Jane, when he first meets her, like, mentions that she... Well, she implies that she's a vegetarian because that's one of the reasons she eats Scooby snacks.
Ah, Mary Jane.
They're 100% vegetarian and I love them. Isla Fisher.
Oh, she's in the 2002 movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. And Mary, obviously Mary Jane's a marijuana thing.
Yep.
Scooby snacks.
Well, originally the 2002 live action film was like, right, there's like an R-rated cut.
Really?
Yeah, it was meant to be like this adult take on Scooby-Doo, but then Warner Brothers were like, maybe let's not do that. And so that's why you can see these weird, like Mary Jane, and there's a couple of other ones that like...
I wonder if that would have been good or not.
I reckon it would have been great.
There are a couple of deleted scenes, because that was one of the first DVDs I owned, so you know you watch everything. Mm. There's this really beautiful part where Sarah Michelle Gellar is talking about how she nearly cried when they watched the animation of Scooby-Doo, like, eyes watering up when everyone was leaving. She was like, no, this nearly made me cry. It was very beautiful. But some of the deleted scenes, one of them was in when Velma's body gets taken over, or her soul gets stolen and her body is taken over by the demon things.
Yeah.
And she's in a change room, like, and all the girls in the change room are in their bikinis, like, doing, like, groovy dance moves. But then when they did the test screening, they were like, why are all the women in their underwear? And they were like, oh, we have to cut that. And there was one where Velma gets trashed and performs that I Love You Baby song, which is, to date, still my favorite version of that song, is Velma singing it. Like, she gets drunk on a piano and then the Mr. Bean character looks over at, I think, Shaggy and goes, she does know those are non-alcoholic, doesn't she? And it's classic. Very funny.
Classic. Mm.
Good bit.
It's because she has a crush on one of the guys there.
Is that song the song from 10 Things I Hate About You? That song?
Yes, that one.
So even better than the...
Yep.
Man.
Wow.
We got to track down this deleted scene.
That sounds pretty good. I've just found the fact about the original names when it was pitched as Who's Scared? Freddie was going to be Jeff, later Ronnie. And
they're
then
all bad.
Yeah, wow.
Daphne was going to be Kelly. What are they thinking?
Yeah, crazy.
Velma was going to be Linda. So those all feel like, why did you even bother changing them? But whatever. And then
Linda is the name of the woman who played her in the live action one, isn't it?
Whoa.
Whoa.
That's cool.
Were they going to keep the same surnames? Jeff Jones.
Oh, Jeff Jones is cool.
Ronnie Jones.
Ronnie Jones, even better.
Ronnie Jones. Oh, that's good.
But Shaggy, and Scooby-Doo is going to be too much. Oh, it says, as in, that's just too much. A popular catchphrase of the time.
Oh, so it's, that's just too much. That's just
some extra context, yeah.
No, that's good. I think we got it.
Yeah.
So I don't even think that's the weirdest one. The weirdest one is Shaggy was going to be WW.
No.
How slow would it be every bit of conversation they have to have?
WW.
It's one of they talk about WWW is long. Longer than World Wide Web.
Yeah.
It'd be the same. Whatever WW stands for.
What if it was just WWW? Is that...
WWW. Oh, yeah.
It's WWW too much because of the title.
It's the first two letters of the title. Evan.
But it's a silent W.
You're the Fred of this Scooby
yeah.
gang.
Yeah. WWW.
I think I'm the dumb one. Because I can't even remember a name. Daphne or Velma?
Daphne.
No, but you do confidently state facts.
Yeah, okay. That's true, Velma.
I'm a little mix of the two. I do say on stand-up sometimes that I'm the love child of Shaggy and Velma.
Mm?
I look like I am. Which I don't think is true at all, but people laugh occasionally. So it stays in.
Yeah!
I'm sure the listeners are wondering what the solution to this mystery
is. Yeah, let's get back to that.
So they're hunting down this ape man.
Mm-hmm. It's basically a long, drawn-out, super slow chase scene, nearly the whole episode.
Every Scooby-Doo Where Are You episode is. One thing that we should address in that chase scene that I always found really baffling is where Shaggy and Velma think that they're about to be shot because they can hear someone saying, "Stick 'em up, stick 'em up." And then they're like, "What is it?" And then they realize it's a parrot.
Yeah.
And they take the sheet off the top of the parrot's cage, and the parrot is like this weird prehistoric bird.
Yeah, because its beak and its head is all the same.
It's like one solid bit of bone.
Yeah.
But it's like that, that annoyed me a little bit. Then I was like, that's how they're drawing everyone's faces anyway.
No, that's
like,
true.
Like the beak was the entire head, Shaggy's beard is sometimes his skin, and no one has the whites of their eyes.
Yeah, right. That's very true.
Yeah,
it's lazy animation.
But it's crazy that bird remained in this mansion. What was it for? It must be sick.
With a sheet over it as well. Doesn't need feeding.
Doesn't he know it's nighttime?
And it says is stick 'em up, and if it's a parrot, that means that it's heard. Maybe it was like on a set of a crime film or something. You know, it's a baffling moment in a baffling
episode.
That
is a weird thing to put in the script, isn't it?
Yeah. And like, I always think that whenever I'm like watching an episode of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? I'm like, this is a, like, someone wrote this.
Yeah.
Someone had to be like, okay, ape monster. Okay. And then solution to who ape monster is. And we need stuff in the middle. And someone's like, what if Shaggy and Velma think they're about to be shot? And then it's a parrot. And someone's like, great. Write it in. Chuck it in. That's a scene. That's 2 minutes. We're good.
And I think there's a moment where they're like, oh, Scooby, quit playing around. Or maybe it was Shaggy. Mm. But then there's another moment where they've revealed the parrot. And I think Scooby's going to the parrot. And then it just cuts to Shaggy and Velma standing there with their hands in the air. They're surrendering.
What
just a 2-second shot of them surrendering, being like, what's happening?
What's going on?
So yeah, that part of the chase.
Yeah.
And that goes on until eventually Shaggy for some reason sees the ape man without his mask in a mirror.
Yeah.
Although they find a secret pathway which leads out.
Yeah, they're in, I think, the changing room of the actors on set or whatever.
And we can see clearly in this mirror that it's the back of a bald man's head.
And the other,
like, unless Carl, another bald man in an ape costume, is one of many bald men in ape costumes, then I have a funny feeling. I think I know where this is
going.
May have
solved this mystery.
Yeah. They find an instant camera and they just start taking photos.
Yeah, Shaggy's running around with a camera.
Is that scene? That scene feels like product placement, right? He's like, it's one of those old Jiffy cameras. It can take any, like, it develops a shot in an hour. You're like, okay, Shaggy.
I think they just needed that. It's like a plot device, right?
Yeah.
They also don't animate it properly because he takes the photos and they don't actually come out because I think he says a minute.
Yeah.
So it's like the instant cameras, but nothing comes out when he takes the photos.
Right.
So clearly they've not actually had any physical experience.
Figure that out. Do they get sent to the chemist or something? What happens here? So then he gets that photo and then they crack the case wide open.
Yeah,
do they do a classic unmasking?
Yeah, I think there's a classic unmasking where they're like, it's Carl. He wanted to sabotage the film because he didn't get the lead, which is crazy because I just don't think that's how films work.
Yeah, did he think was going to happen as well? Like, he sabotaged the film and then he's the last one there. And
they're
just going to make this a one-man film, which kind of makes you the lead.
How bizarre.
I guess if he went in and he auditioned for the lead, because, I mean, what a prestigious role, the lead in Ape Man of Forbidden Mountain. And then they're like, oh, you're not great for the lead, but you know who you would be good for?
Put this mask on.
Ape Man, which is funny as well because he's a stuntman, not an actor.
Yeah.
That's like if Andy Serkis, who I know is beloved on this show, in Planet of the Apes or something, was like, no, I don't want to be an ape. I'm not here for an ape. I want to be just one of the guys.
Yeah.
And like, Andy.
can we get a human character in this gang of apes?
Yeah. I'll play him. Andy, come on, man.
But it means like right at the start in that when they're shooting the scene and this all kicks off, right? Mm. And he's behaving weirdly.
Yeah.
He's not obeying the director's direction. And Max, the director, says, that's not my stuntman. Like, they've just jumped to this conclusion that it's not like the stuntman's being weird. It must be
the actual
ape man.
But he's also wearing the same costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same costume.
Yeah, there were clues early. Yeah. Not for us watching. We took their word for it. But the director really should have caught on to this.
I know. Up until you realize it's Carl, you're like, I guess it's just that they couldn't animate the costume and the Ape Man costume differently enough.
Right.
But no, you're right. They're the exact same costume.
Also, the lines just before that, where they're trying to lead you into thinking that it's an ape monster, like a real ape man, where they're saying, he could be for real. This is even better than the rehearsal. But it wouldn't have been. It's the same costume. It's the same man. Is he just doing a better impression of an ape?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that like, would that be better? Are real ape men good actors? Surely the actor would have done a better take than a real ape man.
Yeah.
Maybe the implication was that he was toning it down in rehearsal and was just, right. You know, I'll do it on the day. Yeah. But how that's so sad because it's like, oh, we'll cast him. And it's like, oh, you know, he's all right. He would have been so good. Maybe if he put in his effort, he would have got cast as
absolutely
the lead role of Cindy.
Once the adrenaline was running.
Before we get to the end, what the hell was the plot of this movie? All we see, woman cross rope bridge,
yep.
Ape at one end. Ape tries to get woman off rope bridge, but that's not what he's meant to do.
Yeah.
He's like, that's not in the script.
Yeah. What's
in the script? Is the ape like, come across the bridge, Cindy? I don't know.
Yeah, right. Maybe it's a love story.
We can't tell.
They do make a King Kong reference later on.
Okay.
So maybe it's nebulous King Kong.
Right.
There were a lot of, after King Kong came out, there were like a whole bunch of King Kong ripoffs. Maybe this was going to be one of them.
Were they going to use scaling or something to
make him
seem, is he going to stand in the foreground of all the shots? Because he was just like a normal sized ape.
Also, what an atrocious shot on an angle of a bridge. Ape man really far away, girl in middle of bridge. Wow. What a film.
I didn't see a camera at any point during this episode.
That's true.
I'm just realizing.
Yeah, that's so weird. Every time I watch a Scooby-Doo episode, I wish I had like the skills to go in. You know, like in early Adult Swim where they would take the frames of like cartoons like this and reanimate them? That's just so funny for him to be like, we're filming it, and to zoom out to obviously no camera, hands on hips, long, awkward pause. What a show.
The episode kind of finishes with a bit of a joke where Shaggy and Scooby are sitting by the fire, and one's wearing the ape mask, and that one takes off the ape mask, and it turns out it's Scooby.
Whoa.
Wait, hang on, two Scoobies? What's going on? How could we possibly... I mean, there was that Scooby-Doo mask from earlier. I don't know if it's going to have to do it. Oh, it was that. It was just
I'm
Shaggy
a massive fan
Scooby.
Of Shaggy's line here. It's the most human, natural dialogue anyone's ever said, where he's like, it's just me wearing the realistic Scooby mask from earlier.
Funny fact, that wasn't actually in the script.
All ad-libbed. But that's funny as well, because nobody saw the realistic Scooby mask but Scooby. So there's a scene missing where Scooby's like, oh, earlier... The rape man had a realistic ruby mask. I roar in my red. And everyone's like, oh, yeah. Cool, Scooby.
Scooby likes sliding. In that mirror scene as well, it was a very realistic mask, but you could also see the ape man's shoulders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's pretty clear that it was... Not.
It was the ape man they were looking for.
Yeah.
It's not like they went, oh, well, my brain's going to forget about that because why would there be an ape man? That's a trick of the mind. We're looking for an ape man.
But specifically, this is after Scooby has gone across the bridge and everyone's like, oh, fine, Scooby. He's like, that was scary. The ape man's scary. Forget the fact that I fought the ape man. They're like, cool, we'll find the ape man. And Scooby's like, I would really rather not find the ape man. I'm very scared of the ape man. And then he goes into the mirror and sees the ape man and just hides and is trying to tell everyone. They're like, what are you doing? It's a mirror. Although natural human dialogue throughout the entire show, a lot of it is very like, oh, here is a fact. And let's just reiterate the fact and discuss the fact. We know a fact. And then and it's not subtle at all. And then they have that part where the ape man goes across and Scooby-Doo notices that his tail isn't reflected. And he's like, there's a clue.
Yeah.
And it's the most subtle thing in the entire episode to be like, his tail is missing. Because there's such a suspension of disbelief for the ape costume for everyone else. Because everyone's like, oh, yeah, Scooby, there's your face in the mirror. Why would we need to discuss this further?
what a show.
Also, just the fact that at the end, he was like, oh, it's the mask from before. That is what made me suspend my disbelief. I'm like, wait, that wasn't just the throwaway part? Like, if it was a throwaway part, they're like, oh, you know, it's from the makeup department or something. It's like, no, he made one.
He knew Scooby-Doo was coming, I guess, and created a mask. Incredible.
I'm starting to think this show's a bit silly.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be on the money there.
How, if you were going to give it a score, a banana score out of bananas, how big is the bunch and how many bananas would you give the movie, TV show?
Episode,
thank you.
There are far better episodes of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? In the original season.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the weaker ones. Maybe I'll give it like an overripe little bunch.
A little bunch of lady fingers.
Yeah, overripe lady fingers. That's this episode.
How about you, Kath?
I'm going to go 4 bananas, perfect for banana bread. Like they're at the banana bread stage or inserting into a yo nana.
Oh,
what's a yo? That's a yoga fires bananas, is it?
It makes them into ice cream.
Wow.
I mean, without any of the ice cream. It's meant to be healthy. You put like frozen berries and fruit and stuff and frozen bananas into the machine and it like churns them up and spits out like a soft serve made of banana.
Yum.
That sounds great.
Sounds great.
When I was younger, I was I used to be like a demo girl in like white goods stores, and I had someone come up and be like, "Oh, would you like to like you're really good?" And they tried to poach me for yo nanas, and because I was young, I was like, "Oh yeah, thanks. I'll have a think about it." But in my heart, I was like, "I couldn't do it. I don't like bananas." I was like, "How could I ever sell a product I didn't truly believe in?" And I didn't take the job.
Oh, that rules so hard, Cash.
I didn't want to lie.
That's so good.
Have you sort of stuck with that, you know, throughout your whole career?
Yeah, thank God it's worked. Thank God I've had at least the option of doing that. Yeah. I can't believe how lucky I am.
That's amazing.
How about you, Ev? How many bananas do you give?
3 out of 6.
Okay.
Bananas.
50% good.
50%. I enjoyed it. It was a nostalgia trip for me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't very good.
Right.
It was so fun, though. And I think it's one of those things where because media has changed so much, the way TV shows are structured, the way that natural human dialogue has transformed over the years, I feel that a lot more TV shows, I think they put a lot more trust in their audience. I feel like it's really obvious these days if you're watching a TV show where they do not put trust in the audience to figure some stuff out, it's really jarring. So watching something that is before, you know, pre-9/11 and really different and really structured really differently, it's a really cool experience to watch and to understand, because it's so vastly different, the ways that media has changed and the way the audiences have changed because you make it for the audience. I definitely recommend watching it.
Did you one of my favorite things you've brought to my attention is gentle energy. Did you feel any in this episode?
Not specifically. I feel like everyone has pretty calm energy. Like even when it's stressful, everyone, you know they're going to be okay.
Is that the same as BDE?
Big dick energy? No.
Okay, calm energy and big dick energy.
CDE, you have calm dick energy.
Calm dick energy.
Very possible.
It's a very flaccid episode.
Flaccid dick energy.
No, you never have an overall fear that things are going to go wrong for the gang. I feel like they all genuinely care about each other, so it's similar to gentle energy, but they are rude.
Right. Yes, they can be rude to each other.
Yeah.
Is Fred that rude?
Hey, Fred's just a strange guy.
Right.
I always love, I think it's the episode minor 49, or possibly episode 6 of the original series.
He knows his dudes.
I know my dude. Where they're driving along in a spooky abandoned mining town. And they're just like driving really slowly down a street. And then the camera shows like a building. It's quite abandoned. And one of the doors falls off the building with a big crash. And Shaggy's like, ah! And Fred just stops the car. And he's like, let's get out. And you can just tell that it's because Shaggy's so afraid.
Right.
You know?
He's almost metal detector for spooks.
He sure is. Nobody else ever, maybe other than Velma, seems like they want to investigate stuff. But Fred, he's hard in his dungarees, you know?
I think I'm similar to Evan. I said it was sort of fun, but it was kind of a hard 20 minutes to get through somehow. But there's fun things about it.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, it was. I enjoyed it on some level. About
that's all you can ask.
About four pretty ripe, like maybe slightly overripe out of six bananas.
Okay.
Castle, last time Jackson was on, he mentioned, I think it was about you. He said next time Cass is on, you got to ask her about a ghost story she has.
About your childhood friend that was definitely a ghost.
Oh, my ghost story. I'm so sorry to report it has nothing to do with primates. Aside from the primate of human and the ghost thereof.
The best one.
I had a friend in kindy called Tim. And Tim dressed like a 20s cricketer and had like a big scar on his cheek. And I used to... And we like hung out and stuff. And I remember telling my mum about it and being like, oh, I really want a big scar on my cheek. She's like, why would you want that? I'm like, 'cause it looks cool. And then years later, like I was an adult, I was like, oh yeah, my friend Tim that I had when I was young, he dressed like a 20s cricketer. Mum's like, no, you didn't have a friend called Tim. I'm like, yeah, like my friend Tim, he had a big scar on his cheek. She's like, no. I'm like, you know how I wanted a scar on my cheek? And she's like, yeah, I remember you wanting a scar on your cheek. I don't remember this friend. I'm like, but we hung out. And we ended up going through old boxes and finding all my kindy photos, and he wasn't in any of them. Ooh. And he wasn't in the absent kids ones either. And then we did an episode of Jackson Bailey Spooks America, one of our Sans Pants shows, and we all talked about our own personal like spooky stories. And then we went into it a bit and people started asking questions, and they're like, well, how old did he look? And I'm like, oh, maybe a bit older than me actually, because he was quite, you know, kids generally are like, they're not skinny. He was a bit thinner than you would expect a kid who's like 5. I mean, he could have just been a thin kid. Like, bodies are different. But I'm like, oh, he did look a bit thinner. And they're like, okay, tell me about the scar. And I realized it wasn't healed. Like, it wasn't fresh gash. You know how scars go a bit purple or pink when they're healed? It didn't look like that. It wasn't bleeding or anything. It just wasn't a healed scar.
Right. And how long was this friendship where the scar didn't heal?
I don't know.
Just permanently open wound?
That's the thing. Like, I was a kid and it was so many years ago and it was, you know, I moved states and everything. So it could just be my kid brain remembering one day really vividly, but I don't remember him without the scar.
Have you looked into cricketer Tim's who died from a face wound in the area?
No, well, it wouldn't have killed him. It wasn't. It was from like his temple to his like bottom of his jaw. But
so he could have been alive.
Yeah, there's a chance. There was nothing surprising. I didn't look at my friend and think this looks like a dead boy. Later I tried to tell my family about it. They were like, there was no boy. Like,
I think in the episode you said that you remembered him mostly from kindy, yeah?
Yeah.
Which makes, I would love to go to the kindy and see if any of the kids had a friend that was also a cricketer of the same age. Like, as if that ghost is haunting the kindergarten.
Yeah.
Or if it was just specifically haunting cats. But it was just definitely a ghost. It's got to be.
Yeah.
I could just be, like, kids' brains are weird. And every time you remember a memory, you're just remembering the last time you remembered the memory, you know?
That's right. Mm. Photocopy.
But no one remembers him. And we were friends.
Well, we all now remember him. Tim, if you are listening, please do get in touch. We'd love to hear your story, side of the story. He's like, Cass, she cut me real bad. I had to run. I had to leave.
All evidence of my existence.
Before photo day, I had to leave town.
It was very hard for me to do at 4, but I did it.
We also normally talk about how much of ourselves we see in the on-screen ape or monkey, because Andy Matthews is some sort of scientist. He told me on episode 2 that chimps and humans share 98% DNA. How much of yourselves do you see in the, I guess in Carl, the ape man?
Well, Carl, he's bitter, he's jealous, you know, just trying to get like a personality profile for
Carl. Sure,
you know, insecure.
These don't seem like your kind of traits.
Oh, no, not much, I guess, do I see of myself in Carl. I would like to dress up like a big ape.
Okay.
There's that element.
He didn't want to do that, though. Because he wanted to be a human character.
That's true, yeah. I guess I see almost nothing of myself in Carl.
What is the lead role? It seemed, as far as we could tell, there were two roles. One was the ape man and the other was
Cindy. Like, Cass was saying it, so.
Yeah. Carl, I don't know. You wanted to play Cindy?
Maybe it was Candy. Maybe the actress.
Oh, it was Candy.
Yeah.
So they said something like, "Oh, trying to shake Candy off the off the bridge," which confused me for half a second. Like, why is there candy on the bridge?
Maybe
you're trying to shake Candy off the bridge over there. I was like, "Oh, this is a children's slot."
He could probably make a really realistic woman costume.
That's true. Yeah. He made the Scooby mask. Absolutely.
Yeah, I reckon he was 1969's Andy Serkis.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Or at least in the Scooby-verse.
Yeah. He's the Scooby versus Andy Serkis.
I think Andy Serkis could play a lead lady.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We did not put enough attention on the fact. You said on mic, did you, that Scooby-Doo's full name is Scoobert Doo?
Yeah. Scoobert Doo. He's
that has blown me away.
Scoobert Doo. Is Doobie his middle name? Is he Scooby Dooby Doo or is he just Scooby Doo?
I always thought Doobie was more of a reference, but also just a fun way to be like, Jackie Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the show's called Scooby Doo, Where Are You? Mm. Scooby Dooby Doo.
It's just the song. I think
all
that's just
because of Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
What, do you think he knows?
Frank?
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah,
he knows.
I think he knows.
If you know Frank, just call him. Yeah. Just check.
Yeah. Well, Tim is probably in the best position to talk to Frank these days.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I don't see a lot of myself in Carl. I mean, I'd love to be, an actor in a big film production like that. Sure.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I'd be happy in the title role.
Yeah. The film's ostensibly about the ape man. Yeah. You know.
Is this like, what was that Will Smith film where he didn't go in it because he didn't think he was going to be the main character?
The Matrix. No.
He's turned down some big ones, hasn't he?
There was there was a film where he didn't think he was going to be the main character, so he turned the role down, but it was the title role.
Oh, man. Right.
This happened.
I do not know.
Yeah, I cannot remember that film. I like the way this episode of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Clearly didn't know how to end.
Right.
Like, they do the mask thing, and it could have ended there, but it doesn't, and then Shaggy's like, Scoob, we should be in movies. And then there's another beat, and it's like, it could have ended there.
Yeah.
And Scooby licks his face for no reason, and then it finally ends.
Guess
also,
it was just a time thing.
Yeah, like, gotta stretch watching out the clock. That last minute.
Is it the Ape Man is the title role of the film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Carl, your motives
What more did
are
he want?
So apparently, Will Smith has revealed why he famously turned down the lead role in The Matrix. It's well known that Smith was in contention to play Neo. The role went to Keanu Reeves. Apparently, it remains a sore point. I was hoping that... I should have read it before I started reading it out loud.
At least skimmed it.
Yeah, probably. I probably could have done something there.
Maybe, yeah.
So he ended up doing Wild Wild West instead, by the looks of it.
Yeah,
it was a mistake.
Oh. Is it a fun movie? It looks like a fun
Wild
movie.
Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
You got to be in the right frame of mind for Wild Wild West.
It's not very good.
Best thing about Wild Wild West is the giant mechanical spider, because that giant mechanical spider, I think the person who directed it tried to pitch that spider for like the previous four movies.
Yeah, I watched the Kevin Smith talk where he talked about that, which is pretty amazing. It's an amazing story if you want to YouTube it.
Wanted that mechanical spider so bad and he finally got it.
Yeah.
That's like, did you know that Treasure Planet was the dream of these two filmmakers and they had to make like Hercules and Beauty and the Beast? Like they were like, we want to make this Treasure Planet in space, and Disney were like, make this film first. They were like, fine, okay, can we make Treasure Planet in space? They were like, make this film. And they were like, Then they made Treasure Planet in space and no one really cared.
So sad.
Yeah.
Apparently, when Will Smith was in the pitch meeting for The Matrix, was it the Wachowskis?
Yeah.
He said, it turns out they were geniuses,
yeah,
but there's a fine line in a pitch meeting between genius and what I experienced in the meeting.
Yeah, I think
he jokingly recalled their description of the iconic freeze frame jump, saying they pitched it like, we're thinking like, imagine you're in a fight. You like jump. Imagine if you could stop jumping in the middle of the jump, but then people could see around you 360 degrees while you stop jumping. We're going to invent these cameras and then people can see the whole jump when you stop in the middle of the jump. So he's like, now I know they were a genius, but at the time it sounded a little bit.
Fair enough, Will Smith. Yeah. Fair enough.
Look, That makes sense, turning it down. Yeah. You've done a lot of films and you come in like, I don't know how this will go.
I think I remember reading somewhere as well that Will Smith, because he'd just come off Men in Black and he didn't want to be the techno whatever kind of guy.
Right.
He didn't want to get typecast.
In the same interview, he also said that The Matrix was probably better off without him. It would have been such a different film.
I know. Yeah.
Such a different film.
You needed Keanu's blank face.
Yeah.
You know, nothing really going on.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the Patreon shout-out section of the show. People can support this show as well as Do Go On and Book Cheat at patreon.com/dogoonpod. And one of the rewards you get is I'll read out your name, which, what a reward.
Oh, too good.
But also, I'll share your favorite primate. And, yeah, go to primate, what is it? What did I say? patreon.com/dogoonpod. And this week, I want to thank these supporters and let us know what you think of their favorite primates.
All right.
Especially you, Evan, but especially you, Jackson, but especially you, Cass.
Ah, yes.
Sarah Castaneda, great name, says, very my cool. favorite primate is the loris. It likes to move it, move it. Do I need to say more? So edit. I know it's not the same one as from the movie Madagascar, but it looks more like it than actual lemurs. That it has rolls. A more cartoonish eyes.
Everybody gets to
Googling. Phones out.
Yeah, phones out. Let's look for this damn
loris. How do you spell loris?
L-O-R-I-S.
Is it like, well, I know there's the slow loris.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is it like that boy?
Yeah. It's in the same
that's
word.
That's cute.
It does look a lot more like the lemurs.
Hmm.
It's sort of, it's
oh,
in that.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
I think it's in the lemur. It's, you know, not too far from the lemur family.
God, it looks like it's about to cry.
It does. Big fan.
Oh, yeah.
Very good pick. Was it Sarah?
Yes.
Phenomenal pick,
weepy,
Sarah.
Weepy creature.
Oh, there's a, the slow loris has one of the, if you just search the word loris, one of the first results in the images is of a slow loris, and it's like a drawing, like you put in a textbook.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like it's trying to offer you its food, like it's sorry. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Were you hungry? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And it does look like it's about to cry.
It does feel like this category, so there's kind of, there's the three major categories. You've got monkeys, apes, and then the adorable ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And this adorable bunch seems to be the one that's shouted out to the most.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I think so. People aren't threatened by the sweet monkeys.
Yeah.
Anyone that's too human, you've scared. Like, I'm scared of horses. I fear horses. I understand that people would fear apes.
Absolutely.
The questions on this after Googling loris. Can a loris kill a human?
Probably not.
Evan, what's the answer?
We need to know.
I just spotted one in the corner of this room.
It's one of the few venomous mammals on Earth. That makes some sense.
Oh, is that the one that uses its saliva? It spits into its elbow or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
And then another question, is tickling a slow loris harmful?
Weird. Slow loris for sale.
I need that answer quickly.
Is there a fast loris?
Good question.
Oh, no, no, this is the one that happened a while ago. So people would tickle the... I remember seeing videos of this. They'd tickle the monkey, like, while it was on its back. Sorry, primate. And then it would lift its arms above its head, and people thought they were liking the tickling, but they were trying to get to the venom sac in its elbow.
Oh, like, my God.
It thought it was being attacked, because what other animal aside from... No, even us. Someone tickles your belly, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Do the fast twist away.
Yeah.
I was watching a video about a primatologist who was looking after chimps at a sanctuary somewhere, and he was saying that's part of the process. He tickles the young chimps, and that helps them form bonds.
Did you know? Sorry,
which is interesting.
No, go.
Lady Gaga was bitten by a slow loris.
Really?
She tried,
and
to
that's how she got her powers.
That's how it happened.
No kidding.
That's how she what?
Got her powers. No, she was trying to use it in a music video, and it nipped her. She's like, well, no more slow lorises for me.
I think that's good.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It feels like, when was that? I thought we'd, it does feel like we've pretty much
moved
beyond this.
Was 6 years ago.
That's still a bit too recent.
Too recent, Gaga.
The world has moved a lot in the last 6 years, I reckon.
With it genuinely
caring
has.
About things.
Yeah.
Oh, it's,
both
and it's
caring
so nice.
About things and hating people who care about things.
Yeah.
We've come to a beautiful fork in the road. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Sarah, for kicking off that discussion that led us to Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
I'd also love to thank Michael Winkler, who says, I really like the white face sake.
Ooh.
A great deal. Aside from mating for life, which is awesome, the male looks like a grumpy older monkey who's been hit in the face with a cream pie and is extremely unhappy about it.
Oh, that monkey, this ape rules. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
Look at it. Yes. It's so grumpy.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, these.
It's livid. That's, oh, no. Don't, this is bad. The one where it's standing is really bad.
No, that's horrible.
Oh, that's so awful.
That is such a good pick for favorite, though. Also, whenever they're perched on a tree, they look like a vulture who've had their beak cut off.
Yeah, totally.
Amazing looking animal.
What an interesting thing.
Wow. Imagine a vulture slides its beak off.
There you go.
That's the white-faced sake monkey. Imagine
this guy looks like he's vomiting out something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't like that picture.
It's a species of New World sake monkey, and they can be found in Brazil, French Guiana, and Guyana.
What a powerful creature.
Oh, it's got such a long neck.
Sorry, man.
Wow. Whoa. These guys are weird.
It can look behind itself almost.
That rolls.
It looks like a mask on a stick.
Thing.
Oh my god!
It's got a squirrel tail.
This is the best primate.
Wow. Yeah, we found it.
This is the best one.
Is this doing anything
this is,
for you?
This is competing for human. Pretty. Its tail is huge.
It's insane. Love it.
Oh, wow.
What a beast.
This is changing my world.
Michael Winkler. You've got an all winner here. If people are looking to Google it, the images, it's white-faced Saki. Saki spelled S-A-K-I.
You'll need to.
Oh, you should, yeah.
Yeah, stop whatever you're doing.
I found one of him screaming.
It looks like a Jim Henson creation.
It does.
I'd also love to thank Tabitha Post, who I've met a few times at some live shows.
Oh, awesome.
She's from Canada, and she says, my favorite primate is the orangutan. Mm. I like them because they have kind and empathetic faces. They've got gentle energy for sure, orangutans.
Yes.
I've seen an orangutan many times before, but I'm still Googling it, you know?
Yeah, I'm Googling it as well. I want to gaze upon the gentle face.
She said, I wouldn't trust most primates, but I'd trust an orangutan.
Mm. Yeah. No, they have such gentle energy. Oh, yeah. Also, it comes from, I think it's they're Indonesian. In Indonesian, it's orangutan, which means a forest person.
Oh, well, that works out so well, because the final person I'm shouting out to is Jessica, and just coincidentally, this is what she wrote. Though I don't have a favorite primate at the moment. I mean, there's too many to choose.
She didn't know about the white-faced sake, that's fair.
I would like to note that orangutan is Indonesian for forest person, with orang meaning person, and utan, meaning forest. I believe you had this backwards in a past episode. Thank you, Jessica. I almost definitely did.
Someone didn't do Indonesian in high school.
I did Indonesian in high school.
Oh, you did? Okay, great.
Ah, bagus.
What are the odds of bagus being Sikali. Accused of that and being like, actually, I did it for 2 years. Bukala bukumu. One of the few phrases I remember. I can't remember what it means, though.
Hang on. So what about your book?
Do you speak Indonesian?
I technically have a diploma in it.
Okay, great.
Wow. Oh, no.
Well, okay, I felt
a language die inside me. It's bad. Please, give it a go. Let me embarrass myself live.
Well, I'll be doing the same because I remember the phrase being bukala bukumu.
Bukumu means... my books.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
Bukula.
Bukula. I don't know what that is.
Did you also do Indonesian?
Yeah, till VCE, to year 12.
Wow. I did it in year 7 and 8.
It's weird. We're doing it in high school because it felt like every year they kind of had to start from scratch again for all the kids that didn't do it the previous year.
Right.
Until I got to like the later years of high school where it's like, all right, we know you've been doing this for a while and we can go a little bit beyond the basics.
Another phrase just came back to me, salamat pagi.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, good morning.
Right, great. Okay, so, you know, the 2 years wasn't
that's
wasted.
That's good morning between, like, 6 and 11.
Oh, right. I love specificity.
Yeah,
like
specificity
salamat
is
malam
good.
Is night.
Night. That's after 6 p.m. until 6 a.m.
It's quite
again.
Specific.
Trying to find this word you're saying. I don't think it's real.
Bukula.
Bukula. Buku means book, and then la is like an emphasis word, but...
Maybe
Bukula is just book. Oh, hang on, no, I'll see if I can
Let's solve this mystery.
Let's do it.
Bukala?
That means open your books.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there you go.
So that the makes start sense. Of the lesson, I would have heard that every day.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's why it stuck.
And you probably also got things like diamla, which means shush.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yep.
That rolls.
And I would have replied, sorry, what? Yeah, I would love to go back and take language classes seriously. I did Italian for 4 years. I did... what else? I did Mandarin for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's so hard.
Yeah, right.
And I wish I could go back and take, like, because I had to do all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasted a year on German. Mm. Not that I didn't really want to learn German. It's just that I had been learning Indonesian since primary school and was frustrated that I got moved over to German for a year. Like, oh, damn it. And then back over to Indonesian. It's like I just couldn't get traction.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
just frustrating because I feel like I'm not actually going to learn anything here.
What a pointless system.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it silly? I guess I don't know what the solution is because you always have students, you know, switching schools or switching classes and stuff. So you can't just assume all that prior knowledge. Like no high school would assume that you would have taken it in primary school.
Yeah, yeah.
So unless you're doing private lessons or something, that there's not really a good way to do it.
Yeah,
but
so language in school is probably not the best way for some
people
to
learn.
Maybe not. I mean, there's some knowledge in my head, I guess, still of Indonesian, but that's because I took it in VCE. I think if I didn't take it in VCE, I wouldn't have anything in there.
I did it for like 7 and 8.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You did Indonesian as well.
I remember
all four
that,
of us studied Indonesian.
It was very common in Australia, I think.
I didn't realize
because they're
that,
a very close neighbour.
I remember the ducks go quick. Quick.
That's South
it.
African,
and the frogs
are they?
Go Rebek.
Rebek.
I just heard last week that they're probably moving Jakarta, the capital from Jakarta.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Whoa.
Because it's sinking or something?
Oh, that's very sad.
Yeah.
I did want to ask a question because I think it's one of the first lessons you get in Indonesian in our high school, so I want to see if it was universal to all Australian high schools, is you follow a group of friends to learn the numbers. You follow a group of friends to McDonald's, or as it's known in Indonesian, McD's. And one of the friends orders an excessive amount of food. And the story that you read along with is like, oh, wah, satu, dua, tiga, wah, empat McChicken. Did anyone else? That is in my head forever.
I love McDonald's sponsoring language lessons.
For a brief second, I thought you were saying that the very first lesson in school is they're like, all right, go to McDonald's.
One of you must order too much.
Satu, dua, adu, tiga es krim. Because he finishes it up with 3 ice creams and then he's like, I feel sick. And all his friends are like, yes.
That rolls.
Well, thank you, Jessica, for kicking off that Indonesian conversation. That pretty much brings us to the end of the episode. I would love for listeners to review the show if you have a spare moment. 5 stars, and I'll read it out. I've only had the one since the last week's episode, and that was a 5-star review. It says, the greatest podcast concept of all time. Feels like it should have been an exclamation mark, just a full stop.
The greatest pod. No, but that's maybe a bit more professional.
Right.
Yeah. The greatest podcast concept of all
time. Being serious.
Understated. Yeah.
I just write everything with exclamation marks, which is weird for a guy who never exclaims anything. And he goes on, named Coach Geep, goes on to say, the perfect podcast for a post 9/11 world. Truly a modern classic.
Yeah.
Matt and Evan truly know how to bridge the primate gap in podcast culture.
Wow.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah. That's powerful. Really,
thank you so much, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. So that brings us to the end of the show. Where can people find you?
Well, we're from Sanspants Radio, so if you go to sanspantsradio.com, you'll see all the podcasts we do.
It's too many.
I'm sure there'll be one there that piques your interest.
Any primate-related podcasts over there?
You've done a few Bigfoot episodes.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Jackson Bailey Spooks America, where we would talk about
it's
Bigfoot.
Behind a paywall.
It's
unfortunate.
It's a Patreon Sanspants Plus exclusive show.
Some sort of a living.
Yeah.
People will be furious.
Sorry, guys.
Dip your toes in the comedic waters of Sanspants Radio, the free edition.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually, we were you on the episode when I did a an ape special of
Plumbing the Death Star
about superheroes?
I wasn't, but that was yeah, you and the two Joels trying to replace superheroes with apes. That's our pop culture nonsense podcast where we just say whatever.
Yeah,
it's a
yeah.
lot of hypotheticals in pop culture.
Yeah, it's
yeah, it was
the
fun.
Worst one to describe.
No, that's my favorite one to describe.
It's just so hard.
The other
to
ones
get
are like, oh, cool, shut up a second is banter but funny, we hope. And why am I sad is, oh, what it sounds like.
I like doing Bailey Family Circus, which is the podcast I do with my family, because once you say that, people are like, oh. Me, my parents, and my little brother just answering people's questions.
And Andy Circus.
And Andy Circus, if he wants to come along.
Your dad does look like you made up to be older.
Absolutely.
He looks like a young man with...
Old
person,
yeah. He's like, I think he's like 57 or something. He looks good. Oh. He pulls it off.
You got good genes.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
And Evan, people can find you on Gamey Game. Still on break, but but they can find it. It's gaminggame.com.
Something like that.
Gamey Game.
Gamygame.com. Or just go to YouTube and search for Gamey Game.
And they or even look on our YouTube channel, which is probably YouTube.com/stupidoldchannel.
Yeah.
And you can go back and find old sketches we've done. And we're going to be putting new stuff up on there.
Yeah.
Year.
I was
That's
looking through
exciting.
An old
one. Oh,
hey. Yeah. New things.
But there's a lot of great old stuff on there too.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I was going through an old hard drive yesterday, and this is not related because this is not on the YouTube channel, but of those days when we used to do sketches, and you, before you had a beard, was like a different man.
Yeah, I had weird bulbous hair and like a tiny
beard. It was a weird look. I don't know what look you were
strange.
Going for.
I remember for a long time, and you're going to find this strange, but I used to care even less about what I look like. Generally, I remember just being like, people be like, you should. And I'm like, oh, who gives a fuck? What does it matter?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is probably true.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're not wrong.
But looking back, it's like, yeah, I could not have looked more like I did not care what I looked like.
Anyway, so check out some old sketches.
Yes, definitely. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Now, we always finish with a classic Primates sign-off. Maybe our two guests here, Evan, could do it this week. Rift in the moment. I'll say thank you so much for joining us, Evan Munro-Smith.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Cass, thank you so much,
you
for Jackson.
Having
me. Anytime.
And as we always say here on Primates Podcast...
Monkey see Scooby-Doo.
Good.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.